Short Sermon 13, The Gospel of the Glory of the Christ, Part 1. The Gospel of the Glory of the Christ, Part 1. The title of this sermon comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. As with many other teachings, we ask, what is it? What is the gospel of the glory of the Christ? To answer this question, we have first to define the word gospel. Gospel is basically defined as good news. It can be the joyous announcement of a salutary event or happening, such as a freedom-securing military victory. The victory that was won by the Christ, Jesus the Christ, was and is his victory over death. This victory, which the Greek text calls ta nikos in 1 Corinthians 15:57, has been given to us, to all human beings, by God through Jesus Christ. Second, we must consider the glory that is specifically the glory of the Christ. Glory itself is the splendid manifestation of the character or nature of a resplendent being. There is, for example, the particular glory or splendor on the one hand of earthly bodies, and on the other hand of heavenly bodies. There is a specific glory of the sun, another of the moon, and still another of the stars, and among the stars, there's a variation of splendor. One star differs from another in the magnitude of its brightness. This is actually told in 1 Corinthians 15:40 to 41. All the glory of the heavenly bodies, however, are a declaration of the greater glory of God the Creator. The expanse proclaims the work of his hands, says Psalm 19:1. When applied to persons, glory means renown or prestige, particularly that which was earned or acquired through a notable accomplishment, more particularly, an accomplishment that may be entailed, for example, or may have entailed, for example, a real sacrifice or a significant expenditure of one's treasure or even of one's life. The glory of the Christ is that which occupied the prophets of the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament. It is specifically the glory which Jesus the Christ would enter, experience, and express, again, specifically through suffering, through sacrifice. In Luke 24, verses 25 to 27, Jesus himself, after his resurrection from the dead, spoke to a couple of his disciples of the most important thing of all that the prophets had spoken, something that these slow disciples seem to have missed, that being the necessity of the Messiah, that is, the Christ, ton Christon, to suffer these things, that is, being handed over to be sentenced to death and crucified, specifically, and to enter into his glory. Jesus the Christ entered his glory through suffering and death, through the total expenditure of the treasure of his infinite wealth, and through the very laying down of his life for us. The pouring out of his soul into the death that is not just any human death, but the death of the Son of God, in which he bore the inestimable weight of the sins of the world and their unspeakable consequences in his body on the tree, as it's put in 1 Peter 2:24, and reference also to Galatians 3:13 and Deuteronomy 21:23. On the cross of Golgotha, on the place of the skull, as it's called. Yes, he, Jesus the Christ, entered his specific glory, the glory of the Christ, through enduring, and yes, endure is the right word, enduring the cross, Hebrews 12:2. Through dying the death of the specific cross on which its occupant put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, by being made to be sin, though he himself was without sin and knew no sin. Taking away the curse of the law by being made that very curse, though he himself was the very blessed one of God, and in fact, God himself, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was rejected, though he himself was the elect one of God. Enduring, again, yes, enduring, and willingly, the incalculable loss of all that was once constituted riches, his incalculable riches that made him rich beyond imagination. Being rich, he, the Christ, became poor for your sakes, so that you, through that abject, indescribable poverty, would be made rich with the incalculable wealth of Christ, called in Philippians 4:19, God's riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Christ entered his glory, the glory of the Christ, according to the high point of all Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah 53. Read it and believe and understand through suffering. As Peter the Apostle wrote, the glory of the Christ constitutes the glories, plural, that followed the sufferings, plural, of Christ. As the Spirit of Christ who was in the prophets indicated to them, 1 Peter 1:11. The glory of the Christ is the same as the glories, plural, that followed his sufferings. This is the basis for the gospel of the glory of the Christ. As Hebrews 2:9 says, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. Yes, suffered death. As the Greek text has it, it's very explicitly, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. He didn't just die like we all die. His was the suffering of the specific and singularly reconciling, redeeming, saving death of the God-man, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. He who was and is truly God and truly man. Yes, but at once and always truly God. In that death, called the death of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and no other cross, and by no other death, Jesus the Christ tasted death, which is the wages of sin, for everyone, for all human beings, with no exception, by the grace of God, by the saving grace of the God who is all-saving. In that suffering and death, and only in and by the death of the Son of God, the world of sinners, that's all humanity under the cruel rule of sin, was reconciled to God. While we were still enemies of God, God reconciled us to himself by the death of his Son, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. This is how God proves his love for us. So the glory of the Christ is none other than the incomparable renown that Jesus entered via experiencing the death by which God reconciled the world to himself. It's no wonder that the angels saw the whole earth filled with the glory of Yahweh of the armies. In Isaiah 6:3, the glory of the Christ. It's no wonder that the mouth of God spoke in the prophet Habakkuk in 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's glory. glory that is now shining in the face of Jesus Christ, as the water covers the sea. The gospel of the glory of the Christ is the joyous announcement of the renown of Jesus the Messiah and the Savior of the world, gained through suffering the death by which the whole world of sinners was reconciled to God, the death by which death itself was conquered, as gloriously manifested in Jesus the Christ's resurrection from the dead. The glory of the stars, with the different magnitudes of glory that we spoke of earlier, is what the resurrection is like, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:42 to 49. For by the death of the Son of God and his resurrection, all will be raised to life. And Jesus, the bright morning star, will shine brightest of all. For to him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, belongs the glory both now and forever. This is the gospel that is, for the time being, hidden or veiled from those who are perishing, who don't believe. And that includes that it's veiled from those who claim to be preaching the gospel of Christ, but who in their sermons warn people who have been reconciled to God, even, of a hopeless hell as the alternative to what they call repentance. It seems that today most preachers, even a majority, fail to convey the magnitude of the glory of the Christ, and in that failure, they aren't communicating the very good news that God spoke by the mouth of all the prophets from time immemorial, of the restoration of all things, Acts 3:21. Perhaps we who claim to preach the gospel should heed the salty sagacity of Mark Twain, who said, "Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it is time to pause and reflect." And Father, I pray that by this message, this short sermon, you will confront all of us who heard it with the undeniable reality of Jesus. For I ask it in his name. Amen.